Thank you.
Hello, this is Dotsy, and I am the founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women and the number one site on all search engines, www.boomerwomenspeak.com. I'm passionate about educating and empowering midlife women. First, this evening, I'd like to tell you how the call will work. All of those on the call, it would be great if you would push the number 6, which will mute you, so that way we will not hear any barking dogs or children in the background. Okay, and as people enter the call, Jed, I may have to interrupt you and just ask them to also press 6
sure.
if there's any noise in the background.
Yep.
So that will mute you for now. Jed will speak to us for about a half an hour. I will then ask him some questions, and after that, if you have any questions, I'll ask you to hit 6 again. That will allow you to speak, and we'll be able to hear you, and then you'll be able to ask your questions. So you are listening to the NABBW audio teleseminar about irritable male syndrome and male menopause, what women need to know to protect their relationships and help males, with Jed Diamond. Jed promises to help us understand the men in our lives. And for a little introduction about Jed, he is the director of Men Alive, a health program that helps men live long and well. Since its inception in 1992, Jed has been on the board of advisors of the Men's Health Network. He is also a member of the International Society for the Study of the Aging Male and serves as a member of the International Scientific Board of the World Congress on Men's Health. He consults with the business community on the new field of gender medicine. He helps develop plans to reach the newly emerging boomer male market, which is truly untapped resource. In addition, he works with business leaders to understand and deal effectively with gender conflict in the workplace so that productivity is maintained at a high level and potential legal clashes are eliminated. Jed has been a licensed psychotherapist for over 40 years and is the author of 7 books, including the international best-selling Male Menopause, that has thus far been translated into 24 languages. And he's also the author of the new release, The Irritable Male Syndrome, Managing the 4 Key Causes of Depression and Aggression. Jed has also written 9 booklets, produced 10 audio cassette programs, and a video program for the Public Broadcasting System. He has taught classes at UC Berkeley, UCLA, JFK University, Esalen Institute, the Omega Institute, and other centers of education throughout the United States, Canada, and Europe. He is presently completing his PhD in international health, and he lives with his wife, Carlin, on Shimmons Ridge above Bloody Run Creek in Northern California. They are proud parents of 5 grown children and 10 grandchildren. Now, how's that for an introduction, Jed?
That's pretty good. I'm impressed.
Me too. So we'd like you to begin your part of the call this evening, which will be about a half an hour of a little seminar, and then I'll follow up with some questions, and then the listeners will be able to follow up with their questions.
Great. Well, good. I want to just, again, say thank you for giving me the opportunity to be here on the call and to really interact with women around these very, very important and, I think, crucial issues of what's going on with men today. And I usually talk, I must tell you, before live audiences, and this is a little different for me, talking where I can't see you. So if people would, smile when I say something funny and just lean real close to your phone, I'll be able to get a feel for you as we talk. What I want to do today is to explore new research on the area of andropause, also known as male menopause, or the male climacteric, also called androgen deficiency in the adult male, or ADAM, and research that I conducted with nearly 30,000 males, and to describe a new phenomenon that overlaps andropause, which I call the irritable male syndrome. I also want to tell you what you need to do to ensure that these changes that men go through don't undermine your mental health or wreck your relationships. So that's what I'm hoping to do. I hope that's something that is of interest to you and that makes sense as you join us today.
Sure, this sounds great. I'm looking forward to it.
Great. Well, for me, as is true of most of the work that I've been doing over the last 40 years, this work comes out of both my own experiences and my own life. My wife was going through menopause, and we found that there was a tremendous amount of stress on our relationships. Our sexuality wasn't as positive as it had once been. There was a lot of emotional ups and downs in our relationship. We seemed to be fighting more. We were more distant from each other. And, of course, I blamed all the problems on her and menopause and those women things that, you know, are so difficult, and was sure that if only she would get better, then everything would be fine with us. Well, as happens, she went through menopause and came out the other side, and things did get better. But what we found was a lot of the same symptoms that had been going on with her, she suggested might be also going on with me. And, of course, I laughed at that. I said, well, you know, I've been doing research for years and years, and I've never heard of anything comparable to what women go through with men. I mean, you know, we don't have a menstrual cycle, so we clearly can't stop having one, so there can't really be any such thing as a male menopause. And yet, when I started looking at this in my own life and starting to gather information, I began to see that, in fact, men go through a very, very similar hormonally-based change of life that generally occurs with all men between the ages of 40 and 55, although it can occur as early as 30 or as late as 65. And when I started looking into this, I found, number one, that most of the research was going on in Europe, Asia, Australia, New Zealand, other parts of the world, England, that the U.S. was really behind the times in a lot of the latest research that was going on. And when I started gathering information, I eventually, as I said, developed a study with 30,000 males. And we found that the most common symptoms of male menopause included loss of erections and a lowering of libido or sexual desire, increased fatigue, weight gain, particularly around the belly, and irritability and anger, which had not been reported in the literature up until that time. And we found that symptoms of irritability and anger, in fact, were as common as the more normally reported symptoms of erectile problems. And I mentioned earlier that if anybody's interested in getting copies of the actual questionnaires, I'd be happy to send those to you if you'd like to send me your email address, and just email me at jed@menalive.com. Now, still in the United States, this is not a generally accepted a diagnosis. So many men or their wives that go to the doctors and say, you know, I want to get my husband checked for andropause, many doctors, you know, will shake their head or they'll laugh or they'll not take it seriously. But increasingly, the medical establishment, I think, is coming on board. Mark Blackman is a professor at Johns Hopkins University Medical Center, and he said the male menopause is a real phenomenon and does similar things to men as menopause does to women, although he said less commonly and to a less intense degree.
Hmm.
Now, what I discovered after getting the book out in the world and getting feedback from men and women all over the world, as I said, the books were translated into 24 foreign languages, so I heard from people from China to Russia to Israel, Pakistan, New Zealand, Australia, just everywhere in the world. And what I was hearing was that many people were saying, you know, that irritability thing is really true. I'm really seeing that in my husband. He's gone from Mr. Nice Guy to Mr. Mean overnight. And some of the responses were from people that were much younger or much older, and they began to ask, is there something that may be going on with men beyond this midlife age group? So I again said, well, here's an opportunity to expand our study, and did an additional study with, turned out another 30,000 males participated. And what we found was that there was a concept or a syndrome that we called irritable male syndrome. And I want you to listen carefully on the symptoms of these, because we found that there were four major symptoms. One was hypersensitivity, where every little thing would seem to bother these guys. Anxiety, number two. A lot of worries, a lot of fears. Third, frustration. Just that pressure cooker feeling. And finally, anger, that could either be explosive anger that would end in fights, or that just slow-burning anger that would so frustrate relationships and cause problems. Now, when we began to look at what were the causes, what was underlying this, we found that there were four critical underlying causes. The first, biochemical changes, particularly in the brain chemistry. Second, hormonal fluctuations, particularly with testosterone levels. The third, increased stress levels in these guys. And finally, a loss of purpose or a real confusion about male identity and what we're able to do in the world. So with this information, I began to then help a lot of the men and women that would contact me either through the book, through my website, or, you know, directly in my counseling practice. And what we found was that there was this high level of denial that the guys would experience. And I found this in my own life when I was dealing with these things. I just, for the longest time, couldn't recognize that this was a problem. So one of the things that you need to be able to do is recognize the, I call it the seven stages that a man has to go through to get past the denial. So I want to go through these with you. So what we see in stage one is guys insisting there is no problem. You know, often vehemently, I am not angry, we will say angrily. So that's stage one. That's hard to deal with a guy when he insists that he's not angry and he doesn't have a problem, and if you suggest he might, he gets angrier. Stage two, he begins to recognize that there may be a problem here, you know, as this goes on and things are pointed out to him, but he's sure that the problem is you. Mm. You may have that experience. Oh, yeah, you know, I know there's a problem. Well, if you would only, the way I experienced it was, well, my wife, Carlin, you know, if you'd quit hitting me in the head with the 2x4, I wouldn't be so angry. And she'd say, hitting you in the head? What are you talking about? But in my perception, it was she was doing things to make me angry.
Mm-hmm.
Stage number two. Stage number three, we begin to recognize there may be a problem with us. But when we do, we are sure that it's a minor problem. It's just going to go away. You know, I just need a little more rest. I need a drink after work. I need, you know, some minor thing that'll tune me up. Stage number four, we begin to see, you know, the problem may be more serious, but we're sure we can handle it ourselves. You know, that one, the guy says, mm-hmm. You know, I can take care of it. Don't worry, dear. I will, and whatever, he fills in. You know, I will, you know, get more rest, I'll deal with the stresses at work, I'll spend more time with the kids, I won't drink as much, whatever it is, I'll take care of it. Stage number five, he begins to recognize, you know, maybe I need some help. But, you know, there's nobody out there that can really help. You know, therapists are lousy, they're just going to take our money, it's a waste of time, and, you know, what can we do? Step number six, well, maybe I do need help, and maybe I do need to see somebody. So this is when I'll often get a call from the guy or his wife. And when I talk to him, he wants the quick fix. You know, mm-hmm. It's like bringing his car in, you know, just give it the oil change, the tune-up, get it out here so I can get back on the road.
Right.
And finally, we can help the guy get to step number seven, which he says, well, maybe I have a more complex problem and I'm a little more complex than my car. And maybe my family is worth more than any vehicle that I own. And I better pay attention to, you know, what my wife, what my kids are saying about my irritability. And maybe I need some support with a range of things. Mm-hmm. And that's where the guy starts to look at some of the hormonal issues, the physical issues, the emotional issues, the interpersonal issues, sexual issues, the social issues, economic issues, the spiritual aspects. In other words, there's a lot of aspects that go into, you know, this symptom that we see as irritability or these changes that men go through as we hit midlife. Now, in the years I've been doing this, I talk to a lot of women because it's often the women, this is why I'm that notice the changes first, and it's often the women that are most affected by it. It's like he may have the problem, but she gets the brunt of it. She gets the effect of it. And so I say there's six things that I've seen that women tend to do that don't work, or they don't work very well, or they may make the problem worse.
Okay, help us.
Think about it if these are true for anybody that you know.
Okay.
The first strategy that women try is to ignore the problem. You know, it's hoping it's temporary, things will improve, they kind of collaborate with the guy at his first level where he's saying, there isn't a problem. You know, she hopes that things will get better, that things will improve, that things will, change if only, you know, just give it a little time. Well, they don't improve, they get worse unless something is done about these issues.
Okay,
the second strategy that many women try is they try harder to be nice. You know, while he continues to be mean, she tries to be nicer and nicer to him. It's as though she were saying to herself, maybe if I can just, you know, be nicer and better and more helpful and more supportive, then things will be better for him.
That's very typical of women.
Yeah. And women or any helper type people, you know that there's this tendency to take his meanness and you be nicer and nicer. Well, what happens is the guys get more guilty the nicer the women become. And they feel lousier that they're treating the women bad. And what happens when they feel guilty is they start getting more sad and depressed. And when they get more sad and depressed, they get angrier. And so it has the opposite effect. So the nicer she gets, the meaner he gets, and you get this locked-in cycle that doesn't help anybody. So
right.
Strategy number two doesn't work. Strategy number three, many women will start to blame themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've found is after they've been criticized and blamed for everything from putting on weight to being less available for sex, you begin to think, well, maybe he's right. You know, we know you're not perfect, and you may have been overwhelmed, lately with this problem or that. So you start to feel guilty and ashamed. So I tell women, stop it. You know, you're no more to blame for, you know, this problem of irritable male syndrome or male menopause as you would be if, you know, your guy got lung disease or diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
So the fourth strategy is to blame him. You don't understand why he's gotten this way, but he's, you know, become kind of an SOB. You know, one of the women that wrote in anticipation of this call, she said, help, you know, give me something before I kill him. and women, you know, who are dealing with this often become angry. They begin to think that, well, he must be the problem. And sometimes they're directly angry. Sometimes they're cutting and disrespectful. But the feeling is, well, maybe if I give him some of his own medicine, you know, it'll wake him up and he'll see how lousy he's treating me. Well, it won't. Treating him badly just makes you feel lousy, as he does, and then you're both in a sinking ship that has no place to go but down.
Okay.
So fifth strategy is you try to get him to change. You're sure that if only you could help him, you know, things would get back to normal. And you try dropping hints. You tell him directly. Sometimes he needs to see a doctor. You know, maybe you could see a therapist. Maybe you should go see somebody. You try everything to get him to change. And the more you try to get him to change, the more he digs his feet in. He feels pressured. You feel hopeless. and the more you push, the harder he retreats.
Geez, I hope you have help for us.
I do.
Good.
Okay. So let me give you the last strategy that doesn't work, then I'm going to give you the things that do work.
Great.
Okay. Fair enough?
Sure.
Okay, the last strategy is to try to change yourself to be the person you think he wants.
Mm-hmm.
So he clearly seems to be distancing himself. He may be physically or emotionally distant. You're frightened, and at times, you know, you're panicked. You think that maybe if you could lose weight, be more available, dress more sexually, be more adventuresome, talk more, talk less, right? That somehow if you could just figure out what he wants, things would get better.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a couple of problems with that. First is he doesn't know what he wants.
Huh.
You know, he's on an emotional roller coaster. You might think of male menopause as adolescence the second time around.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever had an adolescent, you know that trying to deal with their emotional ups and downs and trying to accommodate to them doesn't work so well. You know, they don't know what they want. They're changeable. They're emotionally changeable. So one minute you do something the guy likes, and then you do the same thing, and he hates it.
Well, you know, I think we can relate to that because we go through that with our perimenopause and menopause.
Exactly.
We feel
so
the same way.
It's not so different.
Right.
But it's a process that not many women fully understand, obviously, and men, because men haven't understood it in themselves.
Right, and I appreciate you helping get the word out. This is amazing.
Yeah, so here's what I've found over, you know, these last 40 years that can help. These are the six strategies you've heard that don't work. Let me give you six that do.
Okay.
And then we can, you know, talk about some specific questions of how to hone in on this in ways that can be particularly helpful to, you know, you and in ways that will work in specific areas of your life.
Okay.
So the first thing that I tell women that you need to do is you have to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That often women get to a point where they're just worn down. You know, they've been trying everything they know to make things better, and they're just exhausted. So the first thing I tell them, you got to take care of yourself. You know, whatever that means to you, whether it's taking a break, you know, getting support, hanging out with your women friends, getting a massage, going for a walk, taking a vacation, whatever it is, you need to take care of yourself.
This is getting better by the moment.
Good. And I write prescriptions for this. You know, women say, yeah, you know, I need some ammunition. I say, great, here's a prescription. The doctor says you have to do this.
Very
and
good.
Often, it breaks the cycle. You know, you think it's going to make it worse for the guy when you tell him, look, I'm not going to do any more to, rag on you or get on your back or try to get you to change. I'm going to go take care of myself. You find out it starts making things better.
Good.
So the second thing that I tell women, you got to get support.
Mm-hmm.
Often women are suffering alone with these issues. You know, they think they're the only ones that are dealing with husbands like this. There's that feeling that many women have that they need to protect their husband's, you know, sense of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to tell even their closest friends what may be going on. He may even be telling them, look, you better not tell anybody that, you know, we're going through this. Well, you got to break that silence. So you got to talk to your friends. You got to reach out to other people. You got to, you know, let others know that you need some support with this. Dealing with these issues is very difficult.
Okay.
Most women would not hesitate when they're dealing with their adolescent problems with their kids to talk to their girlfriends, but I find that often women will hesitate and hold back when they're needing to talk to their friends or get support for changes that their husbands are going through.
Okay, and I'd like to just put a plug in for the Boomer Women Speak site right now because we have over 60 forums, and the purpose of the site is to connect, encourage, and support one another, and I launched it so that we wouldn't feel alone, that we could share our stories. So this is a perfect tie-in.
Great. That's super.
Yeah.
So the third thing I tell women that you need to do is learn as much as you can about this.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the areas where the more you know, the better things are going to be. That ignorance is not bliss. Ignorance will keep you stuck. So read things. You know, in my books, I have full references to other books, other studies. I put information up on my websites. I do a blog every week to keep people up to date on the latest information. So learn as much as you can.
Sure. And you want to give us the address to that blog?
Sure. You can access it through my website, which is menalive.com.
Okay.
So you go to the website. You can get on my mailing list if you want to get, you know, regular information from me. You can get the blog, which I write once a week, and participate in dialogue around these issues, hear what other women and other men are thinking, because women really need to hear from other men as well, and often the man in your life may not be as open, as articulate as some of the men that share their stories on the blog. So it's a good way to hear from other people, and men particularly find it's really valuable to hear what other men have to say, and they often will find out they're not alone. And
right.
Other guys can say some things that can get through to them in a way that sometimes a woman can't.
Sure, and I think it's important to get to read a weekly log and to get a newsletter so that you're kept abreast and you're continuing to educate yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
These things change over time. It's a process. It's going to, remember I said it may be a 7 to 15 year process, you know, to get through this time. And everybody will get through it, just like everybody goes through adolescence, but some get through it with more of their lives and relationships intact, and others have a more difficult time. So I really encourage women to get as much information as they can. So that's three. Number four, and this isn't so easy when he's being angry and mean, but what I say is listen to his feelings and needs below the anger and blame.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the most difficult steps for women, but what I tell them is he's trying to tell you something about how he feels and what he needs. Now, what he may be saying is, you know, you're a mess and you're to blame and you can't do anything right. But underneath that, he may be telling you, I'm frightened. You know, I'm worried about my loss of sexual desire.
Mm-hmm.
I'm scared about my loss of erections. You know, I'm worried about, you know, the children leaving and whether we're going to be able to get through our marital difficulties and have a marriage on the other side of the kids. I'm worried about my job. So there's a lot of things that are being shared in a language that often men are not able to articulate directly. So
right.
being able to listen below the surface is an important step.
Mm-hmm.
So number five, I say you need to work through denial, his and yours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as I said, he needs help in moving through, is not a problem to, okay, it's a problem, but it's your problem, to eventually getting to, yeah, it may be me. And sometimes just getting to the next step is what you need to do. And often women have told me it's very helpful to realize there's seven steps. He doesn't have to go from total denial to total acceptance in one step.
Right.
Moving little at a time can be helpful. And often you yourself as a woman moving through your own denial, recognizing that for many men, as you say, who are in this midlife change of life, many women are going through the same change. And they're dealing with their own hormonal changes and their own physiological disruptions and their own stresses and their own, you know, identity and sexual changes. So
egads, I'm telling you.
Yeah, and so the good news is if you can recognize that, you can kind of help each other go through it. It's like,
sure.
Geez, you're going through it too. Well, let's you know, kind of, we're both kind of hot in here, and the temperature's going up, and we're feeling some hot under the collar feeling. So it can be helpful if you can recognize that you can go through this together.
Yeah, and communication is key also, honest
exactly.
communication. If you can get the men to communicate honestly and openly, you know.
Yeah, exactly
yeah.
right. And the final thing that I tell women, this is, again, very difficult for many women, is setting boundaries and being willing to back them up.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, many women need to say to the guy in some form, look, I understand this is a difficult time of life. I understand that you're having some feelings that you may not even be able to put into words, and there's some needs that you have that aren't being met and that we need to, you know, work on. I understand that, but I'm not going to be the brunt of your attacks. I'm not going to, you know, be the one that you take it all out on.
Right.
You know, so it's really saying, look, I will listen to you. I will work through this with you. We can get through this together, but I have to also take care of me.
Right. It's the same thing.
That's one of the things that breaks the cycle when the woman, contrary to her fear, you know, her fear is, God, if I ever stood up to this guy and said, enough, you know, you can't do this, he'd really tear into me. You know, if he's this angry now, God, what would he be like if I ever stood up to him? Well, often, just like an adolescent, you know, who is angry and out of control and may need the boundaries to help them feel safe, often a man needs the woman who stands up for herself to say, no, you can't do that. We can work this out, but you have to treat me with respect. You can't be calling me names. You can't be putting me down. I'm not going to put up with that anymore. So, again, that's, you put that together with, you know, the other five steps, and what I found is sometimes you need support for this from your friends, your neighbors, your counselor, whoever, but once men and women are able to work through this, the good news is we are entering the best time of our lives. This is the opportunity that men and women have on the other side of menopause to often have the most creative, the most powerful, the most passionate time of their lives that they've ever experienced. And so many people that I've worked with and that have gone through this say, thank God that we were able to get through this together, because now life is sweeter than it's ever been.
That's good. That's the hope. That's good to hear.
So let me, you know, stop now and open it up, you know, for any questions that you have, or any questions that, you know, others have, so we can see if we can put this into some practical applications for you.
Okay, sure. I'm going to ask a few questions first, and then we'll open it up for anyone else who has questions. So basically, Jed, you are the man when it comes to andropause and male menopause in the United States. Is that right?
Well, I'm certainly one of the main people that has developed these ideas, researched them, and popularized them in the U.S. and around the world.
That is so exciting. That is really something to be proud of. I mean, because where would we be if you hadn't done all this work? So thank you for doing that, and thanks for being on the call and helping us out tonight.
Thank you. Sure.
Okay, I've heard that some midlife men get hot flashes and actually have severe mood swings, just like women.
Yes.
Is that possible, the hot flashes? Like,
yeah,
if a man
absolutely
wakes up in the middle of the night and
yep,
he's drenched.
I've had women who would say, yeah, well, I'll believe in male menopause when, you know, when he starts having hot flashes. Well, what we found in our research was that 40%, up to 40% of the men had problems with their energy system and their heat regulating system the same way that women do.
Okay.
And I would get letters from men, you know, saying, you know, I'm sitting in a meeting, it's cool, air conditioned, all of a sudden I start feeling flushed, I start drenching, my body feels like it's melting, you know, I want to rip my clothes off. And if I didn't know it was written by a man, I'd say, this is a menopausal woman talking to me.
Okay. Good.
So,
and you know,
it's very common, and it's, men often don't call it hot flashes, but they are the same thing, and they are caused by the same problem, which is a rapid change in hormonal levels.
Right. Well, you know, it's interesting. This sounds very crazy, but I'm going to have to ask my father, who is a member of the greatest generation, because I wonder if he would poo-poo this. If he would say, oh, gosh, I didn't go through anything like that. I mean, have you gotten any feedback from that generation who's already experienced it but didn't have the information available to them at the time?
Well, it's like a lot of these things that once you identify them, you begin to recognize that everybody went through it, but you didn't call it that.
Right.
Many times we just said, well, he's just a grouchy old man.
Mm-hmm.
Or he's getting old.
Yeah.
And now we recognize, number one, that these changes are not inevitable. There are things we can do, everything from hormone replacement therapies that men are engaging in the same way that many women had, and some of the same questions that are being arising, to changes of diet, changes of exercise. So there's many things we can do now so that men and women don't have to suffer in the ways that our parents did without being able to do something about it.
Yeah, and you know, I can relate to that because I think of all the kids who've been diagnosed with ADD and ADHD.
Right.
And when you look back, you can probably go through the kids in your class as in elementary school and say, I would bet money had this been, you know, the information available to us at the time that they were the kids.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's just like we continue to learn so much about our bodies, and it's just really interesting to be able to put a label and recognize that there's help.
And once men recognize that there's something that they can do about it, they're much more willing to, you know, take the quiz to find out if they have it, and then to go, God, I don't want to suffer like this. There's more to my life than these kind of symptoms, and I want a good marriage in the later part of my life. I don't want to be fighting all the time. I want my sexuality to go away. I want to enjoy intimacy. And now we know that there's a lot of things that we can do to make that happen.
Well, good. And you mentioned the quiz. Now, that quiz is available on your menalive.com site. Is that right?
The male menopause quiz I send people.
Oh, okay.
I have the irritable male syndrome quiz online that people can get on. I have a website called theirritablemail.com. You can take the quiz online, or I can send it to you by email.
Okay, that's important information, I think. You mentioned HRT for men. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, it's been, again, being used in Europe for years and years. There have been studies that have been going on in Denmark for 50 years where men have been taking replacement doses of testosterone to increase their hormonal levels. It's been going on in England and another number of parts of Europe for the last 10 years. It's just becoming known and beginning to become more widely prescribed in the United States. And for the good news for men, as opposed to women, is the hormones that are being used are bioidentical hormones. So it doesn't run into some of the same problems that women used when they were using hormones, as you know, that were not bioidentical to what was being produced in women's bodies.
Right. Now, you know, I understand that there is help, but what can a woman do if her spouse refuses to get help? I mean, do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what I've been doing, and probably half the people that I've helped, we start with the woman says, he won't come, and he doesn't want to deal with this, but what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
So there are things, as we talked about, that the woman can do directly to get herself in better shape.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I do is every man who is in denial also wants to get help. You know, the only reason men don't get help is they're afraid that, you know, they're going to get some bad news. And so what I found is there are many things that women can do to get their men engaged if they have some support and guidance to do it. So probably 90% of the women that I see, over time, we get their men involved.
Mm-hmm.
But at the beginning, they say, he would never talk to a therapist. I say, I'll betcha. And 90% of the men I get talking to me may take, you know, weeks, months, sometimes years, but there are ways to get through to guys because deep inside, guys want to be happy too.
Right.
You know,
right.
Guys don't like being miserable.
Yeah.
They're just afraid that, you know, it's going to be a waste of their time and money and somebody's going to tell them they're wrong and they're bad and they're, you know, they're stupid. And so they'd rather go down with the ship than take a chance to get the help that they need. But if it's presented in a way that a guy can understand, and often another guy can present it in a way that a guy can understand, we can help guys get involved and that women can get through this dilemma that they have. Is how do I help the guy when he won't get help?
Right. Now, do you have any kind of resource on your site that would, like, say some of the women are listening, but they're from different parts of the country. Can they find therapists in their area that do your kind of work?
Well, they're few and far between still, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
But again, if there's anybody that wants to email me, I will give them the list of physicians and other health professionals that I know in different parts of the country that do understand these issues and are available.
Right. And I would have to say that I think a great beginning would be if women are interested and their spouses are interested would be to buy your books and get a great start there, I would think.
Sure, the books are a real help, and also particularly for the guys. Often guys don't like to read in the same way that women do, but they'll listen to, you know, a CD on their way to work,
mm-hmm.
or they'll watch a video that's a fun, engaging program. So a lot of the additional materials that we've developed seem to be particularly relevant to guys. And, of course, you know, a lot of guys read, and those that do, the books are good, and those that don't, there are other resources that help get the guys involved.
Right. Okay. Let's see. I have a couple more questions that I could ask, but I think what I'm going to do is open up the lines to any of the women who might want to ask you a question. So for those of you who were on the call since the beginning and pushed 6 to mute yourself, you can now push 6 to unmute yourself and ask a question. Does anybody want to ask a question? Now's the time to push 6 and ask your question.
Hi, this is Joan, and my question is it a common physical symptom, which is what my husband's doctor told him, that passing out when he gets up in the middle of the night, that is a common thing among men in their 60s.
I didn't hear what symptom.
Passing out if they get up to urinate at night.
Uh-huh.
Passing out, Jed.
Passing out.
Yes.
Yeah, that is not a common symptom. You know, getting up to urinate at night is, that often is a symptom of, you know, prostate enlargement or some other prostate, you know, irritation or urinary problem. But if he's passing out when he gets up, that's not common, then that's a source of concern and something that, you know, a doctor would certainly want to know about and be able to get to the root of.
Okay, Joan, did you hear that? I'm assuming she heard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
I have a question.
Sure.
This is Georgia in Alabama.
Yeah.
My question is, there are documented cases of women going through menopause that have actually killed their spouse and have blamed it on, and I'm not saying right or wrong, I'm just saying they did, on the menopausal symptoms.
Right.
Are there any documented cases of men that have actually gone bananas because of the symptoms?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've, you know, treated people who are in prison who have, you know, lost it or become enraged or, you know, had the extreme symptoms, which are not common. I want to emphasize that although irritability is a symptom that's very common, rage attacks are less common, but they are present and can lead to, you know, real serious violence exchanges. And so it's, you know, very important to recognize these symptoms early on and to get them treated before they get worse.
Right. I was wondering how much of a problem it was for these individuals to get help because it is so new to the medical community.
Well, as I said, it's becoming more common to get help. There are more centers and more healthcare professionals available to offer help, but it's still not common practice here in the United States, and often, you know, men are, rather than being treated you know, end up either being ignored, laughed at, or when the anger erupts, you know, they end up in the criminal justice system rather than in the healthcare system.
Right. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay, does anyone else have a question?
I'm back on. I don't know what happened to my connection, but I didn't hear the answer if you gave one.
Okay, is this Joan?
Yeah.
Okay. You want to go ahead, Jed, and answer her question?
I remember your question was about the men waking up at night and having to urinate often, but passing out at times.
Correct.
And what I had said is that the waking up at night to urinate is common and often associated with prostate problems or urinary infections, more often prostate enlargement. But the passing out is not common, and that would be something that a doctor would really want to look at and get to the bottom of, because that would generally not be a symptom of male menopause, but would be, you know, associated with some other reason having to do with probably something going on in the brain, you know, or getting up too quickly or a loss of blood to the brain. But something's going on that would make a guy pass out, and that would need to get, you know, assessed and treated.
Okay, yeah, because his doctor said it was common in men his age.
Well, I would disagree with that.
Okay.
You know, I think it's not common, and even if it were common, it's something that there's a reason for, and you would need to get to the bottom of it so that it doesn't happen, because older men shouldn't be passing out when they wake up at night.
That was what I thought.
Right. Well, if you don't get satisfaction, you know, I'd get another opinion.
Okay.
Yes, Joan, women's intuition is usually right.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. Okay, does anyone else have a question?
I do.
Okay, go ahead.
Hi, Jed. It's Judy.
Hi, Judy.
How you doing?
Good.
I was listening to you talk about the things to not do, and I tried them all. And I was also listening carefully to the things to try. And I think there's a stage there that women go through where there's a lot of fear involved. If you've been through that experience with your partner where you've been a little bit beaten down emotionally,
yep.
It's very hard to make that transition to the positive things. Even the very basic stuff like taking care of yourself
Right. Doesn't
get there. So can you talk about that a little more, about how to make that transition and how to cope with the fear, you know, of being left, of if you say anything, you know, he'll be gone.
Right. Yeah, I think the way I describe it, and I think the way many women experience it, is it's like being in a war zone after a while. It's like you're really in trauma, and you are disoriented, both physically, psychologically, and emotionally and spiritually. And so it is very, very difficult, you know, as you might experience if you just, you know, gone through, you know, months and years of living in a country where you're being bombed every day, to come out of that and say, okay, now I need to take good, assertive, you know, decision-making on my own behalf. So it's often a very slow process, and it can take quite a while just to get your head above water enough to take care of yourself. You know, you may have been told over and over again that you're being selfish. You know, help me more. Don't take care of yourself. And so you have to really reinforce that belief that it's okay to take care of me. And getting the support from, you know, from other people, and particularly women friends, can be very, very important. And gradually, you know, over time, getting to a place where whatever the fear is, and for different women, it's different things. For some, it's being left emotionally and that real terror of emotional abandonment. For another, it's the fear of, you know, loss of income and a feeling of I'm going to be a bag lady on the street. And, you know, if I don't hold on for dear life, I'm not going to survive. So whatever that fear is, eventually you've got to deal with it directly and get the support so you know that I'm not going to die, I'm not going to be totally alone. I'm not going to die on the street. And so I can confront these things, and I can try to make it better with this guy, or if I can't, know that I can survive well, even if the worst happens and we go our separate ways. So I hope that supports that idea of, yeah, it's really hard sometimes to get through the fear, and with support, what I find is most women have the strength to do it.
That's helpful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, if anyone who is not asking a question would be kind enough to push 6 to mute themselves, that would be great. And if anyone else has a question, we can take one, maybe 2 more questions. So you should push 6 so we can hear you and ask your question.
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
It's Holly in Indianapolis.
Hi, Holly.
Hi. My husband's only 35, and he's going through this. And he's seeing a counselor now and has also seen his medical doctor. And in this latest appointment, they put him on an antidepressant. How do you feel about the use of antidepressants during this period?
Well, as I said, you know, the common period is between 40 and 55. It can start as early as 35 or as late as 65. So it's not uncommon for a 35-year-old man to be going through this.
Mm-hmm.
What I find is that in our current kind of medical community, antidepressants have become the kind of treatment of choice for a lot of things. And I think sometimes they're quite appropriate and a man is depressed and an antidepressant is just the right thing. But for other men, there are other things that are going on. For instance, low testosterone levels are not going to get improved by being treated with an antidepressant. So I always recommend that testosterone levels be checked. If there are physiological things going on where a man may be drinking, he may be overweight, there may be sexual issues that are going on, again, you want to get to the root of what the problem is before you engage a treatment. And the antidepressant may be very appropriate for, you know, for your guy in that situation, and there may be more that's going on. So, I mean, one of the ways is if things are still not working after, you know, the antidepressant, you may want to look deeper to see what else may be going on.
Mm-hmm. And also, you haven't said much about not only the irritability and the anger, but also affairs and look the men looking outside of the marriage for happiness since they're blaming everything on the wife.
Exactly, and that's a very common, you know, experience of many of the men, both as their sexual energy begins to wane and their loss of erections. If you can't talk about it, there's often that feeling of, well, if I met somebody younger or prettier or more exciting or newer, then I could prove that I'm still a man. And I mean, he doesn't think that consciously, but often that's an unconscious thing. Or obviously, if you're looking out at your marriage and you think the problem is your wife, and if only I had somebody that really understood me and cared about me and listened to me, then everything would be okay. There's a tendency to look outside the marriage, and affairs are very common and rarely a solution, obviously. It's what too many people do, and I try to engage both the men and the women to say, although you can understand where that desire may come from, it's probably not going to be a solution that's going to be most helpful.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Okay, do you have time for one more question, Jeb?
Sure.
Okay, anybody else have one last question? Okay, if not, I'm going to ask. Go ahead.
This is Joan. What is the percentage of marriages that don't make it?
Well, I don't know what the general percentage is because so many marriages at midlife, you know, run into trouble. I'd say the percentage that have difficulties is probably close to 100%. There's hardly anybody that goes through this time without some stress. What I've found is of the people that deal with these issues, and certainly, you know, the people that I've counseled and that I've worked with and worked with other counselors that understand these issues, we find that the majority of marriages survive this time, and both the husband and the wife look back on it and saying, thank God I hung in there, thank God I got the help that I needed, and we're able to get past these things, understand them, quit blaming each other for the problem, deal with the male menopause and irritable male syndrome directly, and to be able to move on to the, you know, time of life that I think most people really want, which is to be with a partner that they love, they're intimate with, they're sexual with, and that they can enjoy a very close, intimate relationship for the rest of their lives.
Thank you.
Okay, that is a nice note to end things on. That's very encouraging that the majority of those who address the issues survive the marriages and look back with, you know, just grateful that they took the opportunity to get help and work through the issues. So that's really great.
Yeah, one of the women who went through this just wrote me, she said, you know, I finally got my best friend back.
Isn't that wonderful?
We're closer than we've ever been.
That's good.
And that was over a period of working a couple of 3 years together before they were able to work through the problems and really reconnect in the way that they'd always hoped they would.
Good. Well, Jed, I have to tell you that your information is excellent. I have thoroughly enjoyed this call, as I'm sure everyone else on the call has. I would like to get a copy of both of your books so I can promote them through the association now that I have spoken with you and understand a little more of what you're about. If you have anything final to say, you want to promote your two websites and your books, why don't you go ahead and do that?
Sure. I had said if there's anybody that would like to get copies of the questionnaires, the irritable male syndrome and the male menopause, if you just email me at jed@menalive.com. Also, if you're interested in doctors or resources in your local area, I'll tell you about those that I know. And I encourage people that want to stay in touch with me to go on my website at menalive.com, and you can get on my mailing list to get my free newsletter, and you can read about my articles every week on my blog, and I'd just be real interested in hearing from you and let me know if this information was helpful to you and if there's more things that you'd like to know that I can help you, because my real deep desire after working in the field 40 years is
this thing is over.
Sorry, go ahead.
I got it, huh?
Yeah. Sorry.
Okay.
I just tuned in. I'm sorry, I didn't know you could hear me.
That's okay. If you can push 6, that would be great. And that mutes you so we can hear.
Thank you.
Sorry. Okay. Okay.
I was just saying that, you know, if there's any way that, you know, that what I can offer can be helpful to people, I just am so desirous, because I see so many people that their relationships fall apart at this time. And so many who deal with this get through this time to where their relationships are better than they've ever been. And obviously I want to support people in getting through this to a time where their relationships are the most passionate and productive that they've ever had in their lives.
Great. Okay. Well, Jed's website is Men Alive. It's plural, menalive.com. And his other one is theirritablemail.com.
Right.
Okay, and I just want to thank everyone for listening this evening, and again, thank Jed for being on the call. I'm sure we will have a working relationship in the future because your information is valuable. I also would like to invite anyone on the call who is not a member of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women the opportunity to join us for the month of June at the reduced rate of $50. You can email me at dots@boomerwomenspeak.com, and that's boomerwomenspeak.com, and I can send you the link to join for $50. And if there are any women writers on the call that are interested in joining the association for the month of June, the National Association of Women Writers and the National Association of Baby Boomer Women have joined, and we're offering a 2-for-1. Join the National Association of Women Writers and receive a free membership to the National Association of Baby Boomer Women. And you can do that by going to www.naww.org. And if you're interested in learning more about the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, you can find us at www.nabbw.com. Again, thanks for being on the call, and I look forward to hearing your feedback. Good night.
Good night to you all, too.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
All right. Goodbye and good night.
Okay, good night, Jeff.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.